subject Satan does, why don't we? Our Heavenly Father, bless the message to our hearts, and I pray you to help us. Oh God, help us to get the lesson you have for us tonight. Speak to us and give us of thy presence and give me the attention of all the people. And I promise I'll try to pay attention to you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you noticed that in a football game gets down toward the end, have you noticed that there is an intensity in the game? That's what they call a two-minute offense that most football, all professional football teams have. It's the offense that they use when they're down toward the end of the game and they are putting a little more pressure trying to score. Have you ever noticed, maybe seen a boxing match, have you ever noticed that they come out for the last round, especially if a fellow does not know for sure he's ahead? Have you noticed how they just come out and just really pour it on toward the end? Because when the end of the match comes, there's no tomorrow, and this is it. And so the fighters just give their all. Have you ever noticed when a basketball team is ahead, they get down toward the end in a college basketball where there's no time clock? Have you noticed that that they sometimes freeze the ball or have what they call the four-corner offense, and trying to keep their lead and giving extra diligence? Have you noticed the team that's behind usually has a full-court press toward the end of the game, trying to be sure that they can rally at the end of the game? Have you ever noticed that a track star, a distance runner, says what he calls his finishing kick, which means at the end of the mile run, the last lap is almost always a faster lap than the second and third lap. It's a four-lap race, four quarters. The track is a quarter a mile around it. The first lap is usually fast, and then the second and third laps a bit slower, and then the fourth lap is as fast as the first, or even maybe faster than the first. That finishing kick. That's what the Lord means here when he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. There are several things that our Lord lists here. He said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I go back up several verses, and it says such things as this. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And that statement there is also a part of this so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is God saying? God is saying, as you see the day approaching, you ought to have more assurance even than you have already. And then he says, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. He said, now, that's always the case, but he said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then he says, and our bodies washed with pure water. We're always supposed to be clean, but he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, we're supposed to do that all the time, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. And then it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we're supposed to love each other all the time. But as we see the coming of our Lord drawing nigh, as the second coming of Jesus is coming closer and closer all the time, and as we see the end time coming nearer, we're supposed to love each other more. And we're supposed to provoke each other to love even more as we see the day approaching. And then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What does that mean? It means supposed to be more faithful to church as you see the day approaching. We're always supposed to go to church. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, we're always supposed to go to church. But the Bible says intensify that as you see the day approaching. And it says exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, it's nearer. You see, Satan does that. This passage read a while ago says, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe, the inhabitants of the earth, and of the seal. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, in these end time days, the devil does something we don't do. The devil has intensified his efforts. The devil has speeded up his campaign to ruin the world. The devil is doing more than ever to try to bring sin folks to hell. The devil's doing more than ever as he sees the day approaching. as he realizes he has but a short time. He's doing more than ever to corrupt our young people and corrupt our society. The devil's doing more than ever to make alcoholics and dope heads and prostitutes and indecent people out of our Christian community. So much the more as he sees the day approaching. Now, the tragedy is we haven't got as much sense as the devil has. I mean, the devil says, I don't have much more time. I got to get with it. And we as God's people, we eat and drink and give and marriage and marry and buy and sell and go and come and play and picnic and have our time and frivolity. And doesn't seem to matter whether the coming of our Lord is soon or not. That's not what God says. God says so much the more. He says, intensify all these things as you see the day approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, and I mean it, I mean it. We ought not to have ever been as busy in our life for the Master as we are tonight. Why? The day is approaching. We ought to have never worked as hard in soul winning as we do now. We ought to never have worked as hard in a spring program as we do now. We ought to never have worked as hard in the bus ministry as we do now. Why? Because the day is approaching and the devil has intensified his efforts. We too are to intensify our efforts. Now you say, Brother Hyde, how do you know the day is approaching? Did you know that every nation except one that is listed in the end time battle is on the right side tonight of for the closing war in the end time? The only nation on the face of the earth that is mentioned, for example, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you have the listing of the nations on one side. These fight on one side in the end time war, and these fight on the other side in the end time war. The only nation that is not already lined up with its proper side is Japan, and Japan is going more communistic all the time. For example, the Bible says that the enemies of Israel will be Russia, and Russia is now an enemy of Israel. The Bible says that Turkey will march with Russia. And Turkey is, of course, as you know, pro-Russian now. And the Bible says Egypt will be pro-Russian. Have you noticed since the death of Sadat? Have you noticed since his death, Egypt is going more toward Russia now and more toward the communist bloc and more toward the Arab nations? God didn't surprise about that. God didn't look down and say, I'll declare, I didn't know that. No, no, Egypt is lining up with a nation against Israel and against the West. Did you know that the rise of Libya as a pest in the world is no surprise with God? Way back yonder several thousand years ago, God predicted that Libya would line up with Russia. And now we're seeing, under that maniac that controls Libya, we're seeing now Libya become one of the main forces in the battle against right and against the West and against the people of God. Did you know that Eastern Germany, I haven't got time to go into it, but did you know that the division of Germany is mentioned in the Bible? And Eastern Germany had to line up with Russia, and Western Germany had to line up with the Western powers before the end time war. There is an Eastern Germany. There is a Western Germany. And when the Russian forces came at the end of World War II, and when the Allied forces went at the end of World War II, and they met there in the middle of Germany and divided East and West Germany. Little did they know, Mr. Stalin and Mr. Truman, Roosevelt and Truman, little did they know that in those days they were simply being used as tools fulfilling Bible prophecy. I'm saying the end is approaching and the day is approaching. Ethiopia is lined up on the right side and China is mentioned as the land lined up on the right side. And on the other side, England and her allies of the old British Empire and the revived Roman Empire, which is basically what is the European common market now, and the United States, and all the nations are all lined up, and everything now, we all center our attention on little Israel. What am I saying? I'm saying if this book be true and if God be God, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Look up! Our redemption draweth nigh. Our Lord's return is soon. I think every sign in the Bible, and I do believe there are signs in the Bible, I think every sign in the Bible points to the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the devil knows that. The devil said, I'm going to intensify my effort. I'm going to ruin the public schools because I see the end. I have but a short time. I'm going to ruin the youth. By the way, I may as well go ahead and say it now. I may as well, because it's got to be said. You keep your kids away from these little junk places where they play these electronic games. They're becoming nothing more but second-rate pool halls, you keep your kids away. Oh, you say you're against everything. Yep, you got it right. This time you got against a few things, too. I'm saying that the devil, he is doing everything. Oh, but you say, preacher, I like it. Yeah, I know. A lot of sin is fun for a while, but in the end, it stingeth like an adder. In the end, it bringeth forth death. In the end, it doesn't turn out right. Oh, young people, if you just had enough sense to hear me, if you just had enough sense to hear me, if you just had enough sense to hear me, and let me tell you, everything that tastes good is not going to taste good all the time. Everything that makes you tingle not going to make you tingle the rest of your life. Everything that's fun will not always be fun. And you better hear the Word of God as it thunders out about right and wrong. And you better listen to some old outdated 19th century preacher who's got more sense in his big toe than you have in your stupid brain. And you better hear what he said. Oh, you say the generation gap. Only gap that I see around here is in some of the heads of some of you young people haven't got enough sense to listen. And I'm sick and tired of this heathen generation talking about old folks are not smart. Let me tell you something. That's the way you learn. Is hanging around, dumb bunny. And you better listen to Mom. And you better listen to Dad. And you better listen to that teacher. And you better listen to that principal. And you better listen to that youth director. And you better listen to your preacher. And if you don't, I'll guarantee you, the day's going to come when your heart will be broken, your life ruined, your dreams shattered on the pavement of catastrophe if you don't hear what some of us old heads are saying. Oh, but yeah, you're out of date. Yeah, yeah. So is the Bible out of date. And so is heaven out of date. And so is hell out of date. And so is right out of date. And so are the Ten Commandments out of date. And so is wrong out of date. And the words that God spoke 3,500 years ago by Moses on Mount Sinai are just as true tonight as they were 3,500 years ago. And the words the Apostle Paul gave is inspired by the Spirit of God are just as real and just as true tonight as they were 2,000 years ago. And you better shut up, and you better hear me, and you better listen for a change. Some of you little folks out the high school talking about sex, and even found out they got a few cheers at the high school about sex. In God's name, wake up, you little crazy young people. Wake up and be decent, be pure, be right, be moral, be chaste, be clean. It's not smart to always be using little innuendos and filth and rot. And I'm saying it's time that young people got plain. Listen to me, young people. You are going to answer to God for your filth. There is a judgment. There's a time when you are going to stand before your God. And you've got to look Him in the face, and God will judge you. You better hear me. You better hear me. There's a reason why girls get pregnant before they get married. They talk loose before they get married. There's a reason why young men get young girls pregnant before they marry. They talk loose before they marry. And the devil is doing nothing more than getting himself. Trying as he sees the end approaching. The devil says, I'll make more little babies without moms and dads living together as the day approaches. I'll make more alcoholics as the day approaches. I'll make more orphans as the day approaches. I'll make more illegitimate children as the day approaches. I'll make more dope heads as the day approaches. I'll put on television things that ought not be seen by man or beast as we see the day approaching. I'll put Playboy magazine on newsstands across the country as I see the day approaching. Well, pray tell me if the devil's got enough sense to increase his attack as he sees the day approaching. Why, in the name of common sense, don't God's people have that much sense to increase our attack as we see the day approaching? Oh, it's time we said, declared war on the devil. Somebody said last week, somebody wrote me a little note. Some little namby-pamby, ear-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping, soft-soaping, pink-delimited compromiser wrote me a note and said, what is wrong with a nude picture being in Montgomery Wards? You little flea-brain fool. Why, there was a day when this country would have risen up in mass against that kind of stuff. Why, you say, yeah, well, I'm tired of hearing there was a day. Well, you're never going to get tired of it.
honest, simple truth is, anybody that, Christian, not Christian, you got any decency? You know it's not right for folks to put nude women's paintings, pictures up for our little boys and girls and teenagers to go by and see. But you say, a fella said, Brother Hiles, that's art. Yeah, it's wicked art. That's what it is. But you say, Brother Hiles, I can look at a nude painting like that, a picture like that, and it doesn't affect me at all. Don't blame me on the fact that you're peculiar. Go have a medical checkup. Don't sit there and tell me that. Don't sit there and tell me that. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, it's just art. Yeah, there's some art. How about this? How about thou art going to face thy God someday? That's art. Yeah. How about where art thou? That's art. Yeah. How thou art in sin? That's art. Oh, what this old nation needs more than she needs anything in the world is a generation of God's men who do exactly what I'm doing tonight. I mean, as you see the day approaching, why? Intensify your efforts. And yet, there was a day when moms and dads ought to teach their children. It's now, as we see the day approaching. There was a day when our school, our high school, listen, I'm concerned about in our Christian schools, I'm concerned about athletics getting too much attention. And I'm not going to go into that. I believe in sports and I follow sports, and nobody here knows more about sports than I do unless it's Larry Weller. He's a sports encyclopedia. And he knows more because he has more capacity. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that the most important thing in Hammond Baptist High School is not the basketball team. Most important thing in Hammond Baptist Junior High School is not the soccer team. Most important thing in Hammond Baptist High School is not the wrestling team. Most important thing in Hiles Anderson College is not the intramural sports. As we see the day approaching, we ought to join our hands as teachers and Sunday school teachers and principals and coaches and pastors and youth workers and moms and dads. We ought to join our hands. We ought to say, by the grace of God, if the devil gets our kids, he's going to have more scars than he ever had in the battle before. I'll guarantee you, if he gets our kids, he'll have bruises all over his face. We're not going to let him have our kids without a fight. And we ought to do it so much the more as we see the day approaching. As the coming of our Lord draws nigh, the devil's after your kid more than he ever has been. The devil's after your life more than he ever has been. The devil's after your testimony more than he ever has been. The devil is trying to corrupt your mind more than he ever has. And as we see him having enough sense to intensify his efforts in the end time, in God's name, we ourselves ought to say, we too would intensify our efforts in the end time. Rise up, staff members of First Baptist Church. Intensify your work. Rise up, school teachers in our schools. Carry the burden of those kids on your heart. Rise up, youth workers. Rise up, moms and dads. Rise up, coaches. Rise up. And let's decide we're going to give the devil a little bit of Sunday used to say, come on out of hell, old smutty face, and let's go a few rounds a little while. It's time we had enough sense to intensify our efforts. I know what somebody's going to say. I'm tired of this kind of preaching. Well, those doors are all open back there. You want some little fellow wears lace on his underwear? They're all over the area. Oh, for some old-fashioned two-fisted preaching again in this country. So as the devil said, he said, I don't have much time. I know the end's approaching. I know my days are numbered. The devil said, I'll get what I can. I'll do what I can. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, admonishes the New Testament church that we likewise are supposed to do some things as we see the day approaching. Now, what are we supposed to do? There are several things mentioned here. The first thing it says is draw near with full assurance. Now, that word draw near means draw near to each other. Draw near to each other. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, as we'll say it, I do not think this is the day when our boys ought to be in Little League. I don't think this is the day when our boys and girls ought to be in Girl Scouts and Brownies and Cub Scouts. I know what you're saying. I know it. But right here in this area, the Boy Scouts, several years ago, had napkins at their banquet advertising wicked liquor. I'm saying it's time that God's people got together. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near to the house of God. Draw near to God's people. The devil's working double time to divide us. Every week of this world, I get calls. Same old story. I guess I've talked 3 or 4 hours a week or more to preachers who are having trouble in the churches. It's always the same thing. Churches are splitting over conviction. Churches are splitting over convictions. What's wrong with mixed bathing, they say. Now, any man, I've never have been a lady, and looks like my chances are getting slimmer all the time. But I know men. And there's not from that man up there in the corner of that balcony to that one way back in the corner of that balcony. There's not a masculine, red-blooded, two-fisted male in this house who does not know what's wrong with mixed bathing. Not a one. And there is not an honest man in this house but what does not know what's wrong with wearing shorts in public. And there is not a two-fisted, broad-shouldered, barrel-chested, masculine a man in this room tonight who does not know what he thinks when he gazes and feasts his eyes upon a pair of blue jeans on a female. You say, I'm tired of hearing you say it. You're going to get tired than you are now. I'm tired of hearing you say you're tired. All across this country, churches splitting up down the middle. Why? Because the devil is doubling his time and efforts to destroy us. What we ought to be doing is pulling together instead of tearing apart. He says so much the more. You see that they're approaching. Now, something else he says. He said, let us draw near with a full assurance of faith. What's that? The Lord says, always you're supposed to be sure you're saved. But he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You couldn't pay me enough money for me to spend one tick of the clock not knowing I'm saved. Not enough. Not enough. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that I shall stand with him at the last day. I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, if there ever was a day in the history of this world when God's people ought to say, I know that 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 I know I'm saved, it's now and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Full assurance. That term, full assurance, means full load of understanding. As we see the day approaching, let us draw near with a full load of understanding. If you did not understand, young people, you listen to me. You're part of this audience too, and I expect you to keep your eyes feasted on me. If you did not know when you professed your faith in Christ, if you did not know that you were a sinner, you did not have a full heart of understanding. You did not know that you were lost and sinners were condemned by God because of sin. You did not have a full assurance of understanding or a full load of understanding. If you did not know that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and fulfilled the law and filled full the law and paid your penalty in full on the cross, you did not have a full load of understanding. And if you did not realize that you were a sinner and sinners are condemned before God and Jesus suffered our condemnation for us, you did not realize that your faith in Him, not the church, not the baptistry, not the Lord's Supper table, not your good deeds, not your holding out, not your hanging on, if you did not know that you were trusting Christ and Him alone for salvation, then you didn't have a full load of understanding. Now, we ought to always know we're saved, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. But you say, preacher, I sing in the choir. Then get saved if you don't know you're saved. But you say, preacher, I'm on the deacon board. I'd 10,000 times rather admit it tonight before 5,000 people than have me exposed before the whole universe someday when I stand before the judgment of God and find that my name is not written in the book of life. You're a Sunday school teacher in this church. Admit that you're not saved and get saved. You're a school teacher or a school executive, administrator, whoever you are. If you do not know that in glory your name is listed in the book of life, as you see the day approaching, so much the more you ought to know. And then it says something else. It says, hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What does that mean? It goes back to the old sprinkling of the blood on the guilty person. And what it's saying is this. It's saying, hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What does it mean? It means that we ought to know before God we're not guilty. I love that song. God held a great glowing balance. One side was weighted for me. And he goes on to say, I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven. He holds me fast. I'm justified. You say, Brother Hiles, are you a sinner? Yes, but God doesn't know about it. Yeah. You say, doesn't God know you're a sinner? And did he see you sin? Yeah, he sees it and forgets it as soon as he sees it. As far as judicially my record's concerned. In the sight of God tonight, if you could go up and see the Lamb's Book of Life, you'd see my name, and written beside my name, you'd find some form of the word perfect. Perfect. When I came to Christ and put my faith in Him, God took my faith and imputed His sin, my sin, to Him, and imputed His righteousness to me. And on the record of Jesus tonight is my sin, and on my record is His righteousness. And I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. You say, you perfect? No, I'm not perfect, but God sees me as perfect because God sees me through the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to always know we're not guilty before God, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. So much the more. Then he goes on to say, he says, hold fast the profession of our faith. What does it mean? The words hold fast there mean bolt it down. I was down in Florida, and they're expecting a hurricane down there. And there was one of these storms, tropical storm, coming toward Florida. And they're bolting down their houses. Getting everything bolted down. Why? Because the storm was approaching. And ladies and gentlemen, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is approaching. Judgment's approaching. Judgment seat's approaching. Tribulation period's approaching. Marriage of the Lamb's approaching. And as we see the day approaching, we need to bolt down. And what it, when it says the profession of our faith, it means the promises of our faith. Now listen to me. The devil has always been against this book. But as the devil sees the day approaching, he has launched an attack, the like unto which we have never seen, against the authority of this book. I mean, the dirty ERA crowd now is laughing at what they call the Judeo-Christian principles. Laughing at it. They were saying, we don't believe the old-fashioned values, but now they're actually saying, we don't believe the Bible values. Well, let the ERA be true, but let God be a liar, but get God be true. Let God be true, and the anti-capital punishment folks be liars. Let God be true, and the ERA be liars. Let God be true, and the permissive society be liars. Let God be true, and the situation ethics be liars. Let God be true, and the anti-Bible folks be liars. Let God be true, and the evolution crowd be monkey. I mean liars. Let God be true, and it doesn't. Somebody said not long ago in the newspaper, said, we have discovered over in the Holy Land some discoverings and things we discovered, and we have found that in a certain portion of the Bible is true. No, you didn't. You found you had more sense than you thought you had. That's all. Bible is true before you ever discovered it. Now you say, Brother Hal, I'm just too intellectual. No, you're not. You're too idiotic. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I'll tell you, I get so sick and tired of born-again believers saying, well, I want to send my child to an accredited school. What you're saying is, you're saying that a person can be intellectual and be educated and be intelligent and not believe the Bible's the Word of God. And nobody's intelligent who doesn't believe the Bible's the Word of God. Nobody. Nobody. My Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Bible says, as you see the day approaching, the devil is doing all he can to destroy the fundamentals of our faith and destroy the promise of God and destroy the Word of God. As he saw the day approaching, he took it out of our public schools. As he sees the day approaching, now then, they say you can teach evolution in our public school, but you can't teach creation in our public schools. What is it? It's the devil seeing the day is near, the day is approaching, and he's trying to put the false teaching. And by the way, evolution is telling us how man got here, and creation is telling us how man got here. And if creation is religion, evolution's religion. I'm saying preachers ought to be meaner as the day approaches. Moms and dad ought to spank more as the day approaches. Churches ought to have more conviction and ought to undergird and bolt them down as we see the day approaching. All across this nation, fundamental schools are changing faster than I can keep up with it. Then it says, without wavering, it says, as you see the day approaching, hold fast the profession of faith. Then it says, without wavering. The word wavering means bending, not breaking. What does it mean? It means, brother, you may not be very popular now, but when the day approaches, you'll be popular. When the judgment seat comes, you'll be popular. And as we see the day approach, we ought to stand like we've never stood before. I've been singing that song lately. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. And that's what God's people ought to say. Every time your little girl comes home with a new little outfit, you ought to say, I believe what I always believe. Every time your son comes home with a new little slogan or statement, or some little magazine, or some little dipping his conviction, right back and say, I believe what I always believe. Listen, brother, right never changes. Oh, but they say, Brother Hyle, this preacher, that's the 1950s. Well, I'll tell you something. What was right in the 50s is right in the 80s. And what was wrong in the 50s is wrong in the 80s. And so much more as we see the day approaching. And then it says, we ought to constrain one another. It says, it's the soul, many things listed here. But it says, we ought to consider one another or constrain one another. What does that mean? It means we're to hold together. Hold together as we see the day approaches. A Christian never supposed to gossip, but he's supposed to cut it out more as he sees the day approaching. A Christian never is supposed to be critical of another Christian, but he's supposed to watch it even the more as he sees the day approaching. A Christian ought to promote peace and unity, but he ought to so much the more. Now hold it. I'm not talking about a unity and a peace built on breaking down your beliefs. I'm not talking about, hey, hail, the gang's all here. Come on, Nels F.S. Foray. Come on, Bishop Oxnam. Come on, Peel. Come on, Fosdick. Come on, Schuller. Come on, all you people. Believe what you want to believe. Just come on. God's not talking about that. Oh, my soul, this ecumenical movement is destroying this country. And fundamentalists have been swept into it in unpretentious ways. With being naive, we have been swept into this thing. May as well say it. Said everything else. The Roman Catholic Church is still the mother of harlots. you folks get scared to death. And I said that, don't you? Yeah. May as well say it. Mormonism is still a cult. Yeah. And God's people shouldn't run around with cults.
Oh, Brother Hahn. Isn't it sweet that all of us are getting together?
Oh, yeah, sure. Good Lord, good devil, good rattlesnake, good cancer. It's all get together. That's not of God. And I'm not saying we ought to join up with the heathen crowd. I'm saying those of us that are blood-washed and born of the Spirit of God who are genuinely born again. I'm not talking about Jimmy Carter's born again. That's full of peanut. I'm not talking about the Hollywood movie stars born again. I'm not talking about the Nashville Grand Ole Opry type of born again. I'm not talking about sing at the Grand Ole Opry heathen song with your clothes half falling off on Sunday and tell how good Jesus is Monday and Saturday and tell how good Jesus is on Sunday. I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about a movie star going to a nightclub and singing for the devil on Saturday night and stand up on Sunday and saying, I've been born again. If you've been born again, I'm a tadpole. I'm talking about old-fashioned born again. I'm talking about a new creature. I'm talking about a changed life. I'm talking about walking circumspectly from the heathen world. So much the more, as you see today. Don't you think the devil enjoys it as he sees the day approaching, getting Hollywood movie stars to tell how much Jesus means to them? Don't you think he likes it when on a PTL club a movie star comes up there and says, well, there was a day when you couldn't be a movie star and be a Christian, but those days are gone forever. You say, you've got a bad spirit. Yeah, and about time you got a bad spirit about the devil, too. Yeah. Sitting in a motel room in Virginia several years ago, and a singing group came on right after the news. And they were singing, will it be any Morgan David wine in heaven? That was a song. Will it be Morgan David wine in heaven? Long-haired hippie freaks. You can always tell, by the way, what kind of a Christianity a person has. By the way, they wear their hair when they graduate from Hammond Baptist High School or Howells Anderson College. You can always tell it. You can tell hypocrites within 2 months after they graduate from this school. I don't like your preaching. I really haven't thought to worry about that lately a great deal. Will it be Morgan David wine in heaven? And the last line said, if there's not, who in the hell wants to go? Then the interviewer said, aren't you fellows afraid that you'll get a lot of mail from born-again Christians? And the long-haired hippie freak that led that crowd to sing that garbage said, oh, no, we're all born-again Christians. You say, what causes that? The devil knows he has but a short time. He knows he has but a short time. And then it says that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, that's talking about church. The truth is, the word it's not forsake means don't go AWOL. If you weren't at church this morning without a legitimate reason, you're AWOL. You don't come to church Wednesday night unless you're sick or gainfully employed and have to work, you're AWOL. Absent without need. The Lord said, He said we ought to not forsake the assembly. And by the way, that word assembling of ourselves together is the word churching of ourselves together. Not forsaking the churching of ourselves together. You folks that know the word assembly in the Bible, the word assembly is the word church is translated assembly. And not forsaking the churching, or if you want a better language, not forsaking the synagoguing of ourselves together. The word is synagogue there. And not forsaking synagoguing or the congregationing or the churching
of ourselves together. Everybody in this room ought to be here every Sunday night. Everybody in this room ought to be here every Wednesday night. Everybody in this room ought to be here every Sunday morning. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Then it says, exhorting. And that word exhorting is a very interesting word. It's the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit, paracleting. It's used in 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What it means is this. When we sin, Jesus Christ runs to pick us up. He's the runner to our side who picks us up. And the Bible said that as we see the day approaching, we're supposed to pick each other up more than ever. Now hear me, folks. Hear me. Nobody comes to this church and wonders about Brother Howell's convictions about sin. Nobody. And if tonight I have not been plain enough, if you write me a little note, I'll be more than happy to make it plain next Sunday night. But once somebody has not done what we've preached and has gone into sin, then it's our job. Look at me. Babies have cried for years. It's our job to do what we can to run to them and lovingly pick them up. And I will not have any part in this kind of Christianity that because somebody's done wrong, we keep on knocking them down and knocking them down and knocking them down and knocking them down. And my Bible said we're supposed to pick them up. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. That means some young person gets in trouble in our church. That means we're supposed to scream and holler and kick and beller and do all we can to keep them out of trouble. But when they get in trouble, if they'll come to us, we ought to do everything we can to pick them back up and restore them to fellowship with God and with His people. And so much the more. Why? Why so much the more? Why should Christians go to church so much the more? Because we have more opposition in the world than we ever had. You can't even turn on a television set these days without seeing a couple in bed with each other. You can't turn on a rock music. And by the way, the longer rock music is sung and played, the more satanic it becomes. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it. I don't care if nobody hears me. I don't care if not a single kid turns it off. You're not right with God if you listen to rock music. You're not right with God. You're not right with God. You're not right with God. You're not right with God if you listen to rock music. Only person more wrong with God is the moms and dads that let you do it. I'll guarantee you if one of our kids had listened to rock music, I'd have grabbed that thing and broken it in two. Say, what, the machine? No, the kid! You know what I hear these days? You know what I hear? Well, I hear this, Brother Hines, my boy just won't do it. I heard six times in the last week, I said, bring your teenage boy by to see me, and the parent says, he won't come. I double dog daring you punks to tell me you won't do it. You live in my house and eat my food and sit at my table and sleep in my bed and stay in my house. I double dog dare you not to come when I say come. You go where I say go. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I'm as big as you are. Ain't not a one of you I couldn't handle. That includes the tackle on the football team. That includes the fullback. That includes the wrestling team. That includes you. You say, how would you do it? I'd find a way. I know how to pull hair. I know how to gouge a gal. Very idea of some little punk saying, I won't go. And the very idea of a mom and dad saying, he won't go. Oh, brother. Man, I've got those kids.
us a man.
We used to have a little puppet dog, a dog in our house, named Tennessee. It was a beagle. David got to the Bill Rice Ranch. We called it Tenny for short.
I walked in that house.
That old dog, big husky thing. I just walked in the house, just walked in, and the ears went back. I just walked up and I just looked. And Tenny would go like this. Yeah. Watch this. Yeah. He sort of knew on the staff. Old Doc had to tell him, you better do that, boy. Yeah. You guys smart off. I have every one of you laying down here on the platform. You can learn a lot in 10 years, Doc said. You better learn in 10 minutes. The devil said, my days are numbered. I'm going to get my licks in. I have a preacher friend that was captured one time. They said they're going to kill him. Put him on a pool table. The guy had cowboy boots on. They put him on a pool table. Said, okay, preach like you've been preaching. After you get through, we're going to shoot you. Boy, he preached on the judgment of God and dug his heels into that pool table and ripped all that cloth off that table. He said, bless God, brethren, if I'm going, I'm taking one pool table with me. Yeah. And I'll tell you what. They may take me, but I'll tell you what. The crowd that takes me is going to be bruised for a long time. I like what that old lady said down there on the Civil War. In the boundary line of the Civil War, the Yankees came down toward her place. She grabbed her broom. She held up her little apron like that and grabbed that broom and started swinging it like that. Somebody said, you can't win the Civil War with a broom. She said, I know, but I can tell them whose side I'm on. And as we see the day approaching, the devil does more and more and more. But as we see the day approaching, we better be sure we're saved. We better be sure we're right with God. We better be sure we're doing everything we can. As moms and dads and pastors and youth workers and Christian teachers and principals and coaches and Sunday school teachers and God's people, we better say, okay, bolt it down! Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We ought to be sure we're saved and sure we're right with God and sure we're doing everything we can in the job that God has called us to do. And I challenge you and charge you and inspire you tonight as we face our spring program to give it all you've got. All you've got. Every class and every bus and every department and every soul winner and everybody who has a job for God. Let's do it and do it and do it so much the more as we see the day approaching our...